continue.
Okay. We just had a tiny little stove in the kitchen, which was supposed to heat the whole house. Mm-hmm. And also, it came with its own gardener. That's the only way we could have the house. It was proving very expensive, even with the extra allowance we got for French housing. Mm-hmm. And so after a year, we were delighted when we were able to get PMQs at Shape Village. Now, Shape Village had been built for French officers pre-war, I think. The Chateau Denmont was the center of it, and during the occupation of Paris, the German general, it was his headquarters, General Rundstedt.
Right.
He had been his headquarters, because all around were shaped the officers' homes, mm-hmm. the apartments. The apartments were really quite lovely. Mm-hmm. We had long balconies, and down in the basement there were what they called maid's rooms.
Right.
We didn't have a maid, but we used it for extra room, mm-hmm. an extra space. But we had three bedrooms, and the bedrooms had trundle beds, so was easily able to accommodate our children.
Right.
We only had four children there, and we put them into the Shape International School. The curriculum was French, so it was difficult for them at first. We'd all sit around the dining room table every night, going over everything with them. My French was pretty good because I'd had a lot of French at my grammar school education. I'd had 10 lessons eight lessons a week of French. And then I had two French correspondents from the age of 10 mm-hmm. with whom I corresponded, one in Limoges and one in Paris. Mm-hmm. So, and then we visited back and forth with each other as French correspondents. You see, there's quite a system that the British grammar school had in those days. So my French was okay, mm-hmm. just needed a little practice. But I was advised to leave the television on all the time.
Right.
Just for la musique de la langue, you know, so I could get used to the intonations.
Yeah.
And so Freddie's written French was really great. He could read, what's that mystery writer in French? But at receptions, if people spoke too fast, he'd get a bit lost.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But he could understand General de Gaulle very well. Mm-hmm. He spoke very deliberately and carefully, and so it was nice. But we did enjoy it. And I had an old French friend I hadn't seen for 11 years. We always seem to have 11 years between visits. And she came from Poitiers, and she came up to visit us and to visit her aunt in Versailles. And not long after that, she met a widower from who worked with Air France and had been with the Free French Forces during the war. So they married. He had three children. So it was quite a bit for Milan to take on.
Yeah.
But they adored each other and do to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And they got an apartment in Saint-Cloud, which was not too far from where we lived. So we spent some very exciting Bastille Day celebrations with them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Got to know what the French do on Bastille Day. We had some really good times together. And she and I still talk on the telephone every month. Her husband is very sick now. He's quite old now and in a wheelchair. But I hope to see her this summer,
mm-hmm.
you know. Then keep forgetting where I was.
You're in Paris.
In Paris, yes. Oh, yes. The highlight, the social highlight of the time there, every year they had a ball in Versailles Palace, a big charity ball, which is not for the general public. It's called a Soirée de Bienfaisance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, we entered by the Queen's staircase with the Garde Républicain lining the staircase. You just felt like Lady Margaret waltzing
sure.
in there, you know. And it was absolutely wonderful. And then we danced in the Galerie de Bataille mm-hmm. with all these gigantic paintings of Napoleon's battles. I've heard that in recent years they've had a big fire there, but
no.
I don't know what the situation is now. But it was quite wonderful, and probably the most colorful ball I've ever seen in my life, because all the officers from the 14 NATO countries were all in their dress uniforms.
Right.
You know. Yeah. We thought we looked pretty good, but not compared to the men that night. And so we did that for the 3 years we were there. The last year we let our three older children go. Mm-hmm. By then they had got to know daughters and sons of
right.
other people who were stationed with us, so we all made sure that our children had the opportunity. Mm-hmm. But our eldest son had to spend the time. We couldn't get him into the Shape International School. Monsieur Vincent, who was the school principal and became a good friend, said he was too old at age 17 to start in another language. Because it would not just be the language, it would be French culture, French history, French literature. Mm-hmm. You know, and at age 17, that's pretty tough.
Yeah.
So because of his experience in Sea Cadets and the fact that he had been on a leadership course at in Dartmouth, I think it was Cornwallis, something, just before we went over, we were able to get him into Pangbourne Nautical College in England, which was a huge break for us. And so we went over, at least I went over, visited my cousin in London, and we took the train to Reading, then taxi to Pangbourne. And the commandant said he would have to test him to see if he could fit in.
Right.
But would I come back at 5 o'clock that day? So I did. And at 5 o'clock I went back, and he said, well, we can take Craig, but... he will need tutoring in a couple of subjects. If you'll agree to that, we'll be fine. So, sure, we did. So I went back to London. My cousin and her husband donated a trunk. We went to the school shop and got him kitted out in uniform, and then back to Pangbourne. Then I got back to Paris. Oh, I'm telling you, that was something. And it cost so much money.
I'm sure.
And nothing we were prepared for, but... Actually, he really enjoyed his time at Pangbourne.
Mm-hmm.
And they wore naval officers' uniform without the rank badges. And very formal naval training. It's kind of a pre-Dartmouth college. And so he stayed. He became drum major of the school band. He'd always been a musician. And they were drilled by a sergeant major who came down from somewhere every year to drill them for the annual parade through London. He also ran the local school Dixieland band. So all in all, he had quite a good time.
Mm-hmm.
He was disgusted when he went back a year or two ago to find that it is now a coeducational college.
Oh.
Not quite the formal
right,
part,
he remembers.
Place that he remembered.
Sure.
Not disgusted, that's putting too strong a point on that, but disappointed in, you know, we all like things to say the way we remembered them.
Right. Where did you go after Paris?
So after Paris, we had applied to... It was going to be our last posting.
Right.
So we had applied for BC. You can request the province you intend to retire to, and they will if they can accommodate you. We thought we'd probably be going to Comox or something
right.
like that, you see.
Yeah.
No, but he was CO of Mount Lolo, which was... an Air Force station on the Dew Line, in Defense Command. We had never been in Defense Command before. We didn't know anyone. First time we'd been on a station and literally hadn't known a soul from a previous posting,
right.
which was very strange.
I'm sure.
But we got to know people pretty quickly, and Mount Lolo was about 16 miles outside Kamloops, and we got to know a lot of the local people very well. And... two of our children eventually married people they met in high school there.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we do have ties there now.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
And he's still retired after that?
Then retirement. And we first came back to... let's see. Oh, we went to Vancouver first because our eldest son by now was a charter student at Simon Fraser University.
Mm-hmm.
And... Oh, no, he became a charter student when we were in Kamloops, because he had come back from overseas. After he finished at Pangbourne when he was 19, we still had a year to go.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to Metz to get the final year of Canadian high school,
mm-hmm.
you know, before coming back here. So he did come back with us when we all came back. And when was that? 65? And that he started at Simon Fraser. And so we had 2 years in Kamloops, and then we retired to Victoria. No, we actually first went to Vancouver,
right.
Stayed with the boys for a couple of years, because by now Chris had started Simon Fraser also, and Glenda had become engaged to a Kamloops boy and had decided she would be staying in the area there. And so one time I came to visit Victoria to visit some friends, and Freddie said, I said, why didn't you tell me about Victoria? He said, I did. He said, I remember going out to Pat Bay in early in the war and seeing people playing golf in January. So he said, he thought that would be a good place to retire. So we retired and moved here that year, mm-hmm. 47, and we've been, 47. 69, and we've been here ever since.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you enjoyed your experience with the military? And
oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'd get itchy feet every wondering where we were going next, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Still do.
Right.
Yeah.
You find being in the military sort of makes you appreciate your family?
Well, this was the great thing about our children. Because we had a large family,
mm-hmm.
it was really fortunate. There were always a group of us. They could always get a game of tennis or golf,
sure,
or something as
right.
they got older. And they were good friends. And you know, they weren't alone the way if we'd just maybe had one, it might
right.
have been different.
Right.
But this way, they supported each other. Still do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I remember on our 50th anniversary, my eldest son was making a speech, and he said, I was envied my mother and father. Freddie and I looked at each other and said, what is he going to say next? He said, my father knew he was a prairie boy from Alberta, and mother knew she was a Yorkshire girl, but we didn't know where we came from. But then he said, not that we minded, because they all realized that they'd been to places that they could never have been to
right.
had we
right.
not. You know, that people save all their lives to go on holidays such as we did.
Right, of course.
Because wherever, when we were in Paris, we would rent places for holidays
and right.
on farms in Devon, on the sea coast of Italy,
right.
on the you know, and
so you had a good experience.
That's right. And I accompanied Freddie to a course in Bavaria mm-hmm. one time in Oberammergau,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it wasn't all holiday. I mean, Freddie had to work. He was there on a course. But we just took advantage of our situation,
right.
you know. And I think when you go overseas, you have to learn the language and you have to be part of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
No point keeping a little enclave of your
right.
compatriots. You have to really enjoy it to the full,
mm-hmm.
which we did.
That's, yeah, it's important.
Yes. In fact, another officer who was with us way back in the Winnipeg days, when Freddie had the NATO cadet navigation school, Roger and Colette Leboeuf had come from on a French exchange.
Mm-hmm.
He was an exchange officer, and we're great friends to this day.
Oh yeah.
I'll be seeing him this summer when I go over this summer.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
When you had to when you left Paris, was that due to France pulling out of NATO?
Or no, that came a year or so after.
Obviously,
mm-hmm.
you weren't around for that.
No,
either.
No, we wanted to actually stay longer, but we applied for an extension, but we refused it.
I think I remember you saying before that it was one of your favorite postings, Paris.
Oh, it was wonderful.
What an experience!
It was a dream post. I don't think we could afford to do that now.
No,
you
no.
know.
Yeah.
But actually, we spent more than we earned, I think, in those days, because we didn't have entertainment allowances and things like that,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we had so few of we Canadians. We had to entertain quite a bit, because
mm-hmm.
we were invited to all the other countries' national days
right.
and all the fetes, and we had to do a lot of entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good.
Yeah, he enjoyed it.
Managed to take some Cordon Bleu courses. The Chateau Denmark was used as a sort of a community hall.
Mm-hmm.
And we parents, all about twice a month, were delegated to look after a group of teenagers and do something with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for instance, they decided that a Norwegian couple and Frederick and I should chaperone the skating party, assuming that we could all skate. I had never skated in my life. And so we hired a bus and went down to Palais de Glace on the Champs-Élysées. And everybody was laughing at Mrs. Craig, who couldn't even skate, and she's from Canada. You know? But my children all did. They were flashing around the ice, you know, showing off a little bit, and lots of people who couldn't skate at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun.
Oh,
I was just hanging on for grim death. The Norwegian people, of course, they could skate. They just assumed I could also.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you for it.
You're very welcome.
I'll stop here. Mm.